G'day and welcome to CyroPod. I'm Glenn Paul. Since developing long-distance transportation, humans have been responsible for intentionally and unintentionally introducing invasive species across the globe. In the case of the African big-headed ant, it was small enough to stow away on a ship or aircraft. As its name suggests, it's native to Africa, but has now spread to nearly all temperate and tropical parts of the world. And because of its impact on biodiversity, is firmly placed in the 100 worst invasive alien species list. Lord Howe Island, approximately 570 kilometres to the east of Port Macquarie, is a World Heritage Area and regarded as one of the most beautiful islands in the Pacific. But since 1993, it's been subject to invasion by African big-headed ants. Joining me online to discuss measures the Lord Howe Island Board and CSIRO have been taking to turn this situation around is CSIRO ecologist Dr. Ben Hoffman. Ben, for an invasive species to make the 100 worst list, it's obviously got to be pretty bad. Why is this ant such a problem?
This ant has a full suite of impacts environmentally, socially and economically. So in the environment, it's able to outcompete and kill off many of the species that it coexists with, particularly invertebrates and other ants. Socially, it's a very big nuisance within houses and a big problem for electrical appliances. And so economically, it's a big issue with us trying to deal with it in social situations, as well as agriculturally, because it harbours the likes of bugs which reduce crop productivity and can also spread crop diseases.
Okay, so it definitely deserves its spot in that list. As the name suggests, it has a big head, but is that true of all categories? And how does their appearance differ from other ants?
Yeah, this ant has two size classes, minor workers and major workers. So it's only the major worker that has a disproportionately large head, which is approximately half the size of the body. It's not unique to this species. There are approximately 500, maybe even 600 native big-headed ant species, and big-headed ants are found all around the world. But this one particular species just seems to be far more successful than most, and hence it's become a major invasive species globally.
And I guess its colour is the reason why in some parts of Australia it's referred to as the coastal brown ant.
It has many names. For some reason it got the name coastal brown ant, maybe because it's very common throughout the east coast. But personally I don't use it because any ant that thrives in Alice Springs is not coastal.
True. And what about their colonies? Do they have queen ants and how quickly do they multiply?
Yeah, in a normal ant species, we would have one or just a few queens per nest, and individual nests or colonies of a species would compete against each other. This ant is unique, and unique among just a few highly successful invasive ant species where there's no limit to the number of queens that they can have per nest or per colony, and individual nests and colonies don't fight with each other. So they basically act as one cooperative unit that can cover vast areas, even hundreds of hectares, and create what's called a super colony.
And is that also through queens being able to fly in the nuptial stage like other ants and spread further afield?
Now, another unique feature of this ant is that the queens typically don't fly. Even though they do possess wings, they are capable of flight, but typically they don't go and start their own nest. They go and join an existing colony and therefore increase the number of queens and the reproductive output of that colony. So the spread of this ant is usually very slow. It's literally at walking pace of the ant, and so they'll normally only spread about tens of metres per year as opposed to kilometres, which can be done by flight.
And what impacts are they having on Lord Howe Island?
On Lord Howe Island, we haven't directly measured the impacts of the ant. We don't really need to. We know that it's such an invasive species that we don't even really want to waste time trying to work out if it's a threat over there or what it would be a threat to. We simply want to get rid of it. And so for that reason, we've gone straight into the eradication program.
And what does that entail?
Eradication of this ant is actually quite easy. In fact, I think it's the easiest ant in the world to eradicate. There are products on the market that this ant is very susceptible to, and susceptible with just a single treatment. And for that reason, it's one of the ants that has the highest number of eradications around the world. And all we do is we go into an area, we map its distribution. It's simply a case of finding where the ant is and then finding where the limits of its distribution are. And then we apply an ant bait broadcast throughout that whole area. And you'll find that typically the ants are eradicated after that one treatment. The only times when we do have persistent populations is usually just within buildings, and we now know that we need to treat the inside of the buildings as well, not just externally. So within a matter of months, we can map an infestation, treat it, and then the ant is gone, and we then monitor it for the next 2 years to ensure that the ant is completely gone.
And how do you monitor for that with them being so small and able to conceal themselves?
Yeah, there's no easy way of monitoring for an ant and proving that it's gone. It really is a hard slog and a laborious task. The best way is to put out some food, something like cat food. Ants love anything that has fish involved in it. And literally putting out thousands of spoonfuls of cat food throughout an area spaced every few metres apart, and then coming back within half an hour to an hour later and seeing what ants are there. And it's simply presence or absence of this ant species.
And what would be the worst case scenario if left unchecked in a sensitive environment such as Lord Howe Island?
Well, look, we know exactly what this ant is capable of if left unchecked, and good examples are on Hawaii, where many invasive ant species have now spread to where ants weren't native, and so all of the native plants and animals weren't used to ants, and many of them have gone extinct because of the invasive ant species. We're talking invertebrates through to even lizards, notable reductions in bird reproduction. So all of these cases would occur on Lord Howe Island.
And I understand that they can also add to the destructive power of other species, lending them a sort of helping hand.
Yeah, this ant has got onto these very small islands on the Capricornia Cays of the Great Barrier Reef that harbour a particular tree called Posonia grandis, which is a rare tree only found on coral atolls, but a very important tree for the breeding of seabirds. And for some reason, this ant population has also got over there in the presence of an introduced scale population, and together the population of the two species increases to a point where the scales literally suck the life out of the trees and the entire tree population collapses, and you end up with basically a deserted island with no habitat for the ants. And this is an extreme case of what the ant is basically capable of doing. Most unique for Lord Howe Island is that they've recently rediscovered a stick insect that was thought to be extinct, which is the Lord Howe Island phasmid, and it's now only present in captive populations. But they would like to re-release it into the wild, and this ant is one of the two factors that need to be removed so that the phasmids can be released into the wild, the other factor being rats, and so a rat eradication is also about to commence soon. Basically, if the ant is present in the environment, this phasmid will be knocked out almost immediately.
So once it's eradicated, how do you then stop it turning up on the next flight into Lord Howe Island or perhaps via the port?
Yes, keeping a species out of any location is just as applicable for Lord Howe Island as well as it is anywhere else and for any eradication project. So one of the first things that we've done is to improve the biosecurity of Lord Howe Island, particularly by increasing awareness of invasive ants and their identification. And so now all of the goods coming onto the island are inspected. There's a lot more compliance and awareness of what needs to be done to keep things from coming out to Lord Howe Island. And also the port facility on the island is now routinely monitored and also treated for ants, just in case something manages to sneak on.
Well, it sounds like you're winning the battle to keep beautiful Lord Howe Island beautiful. Thanks very much for discussing with us today, Ben.
No problems, thank you.
Dr. Ben Hoffman, and to find out more about the research or to follow us on other social media, just visit www.csiro.au.